Ready, pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tricia, would you proceed with the roll call, please?
Chair Barney.
Here.
Vice Chair George.
Here.
Board Member Rushing.
Here.
Thank you. Reviewing the agenda, do we have any additions or questions about the agenda?
No, sir.
None from staff.
Okay, we're looking good. Then we'll open for community comments and suggestions for items that are not on the agenda. Anybody here in the audience to any of the authorities?
List.
Okay. Members have any comments or questions for this part?
No, sir.
Next up, we have the consent agenda. Is there any public comment on the consent agenda? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion for approval of the consent agenda.
I'm going to approve the consent agenda item 1-2.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? And this is, do we need a roll call on this?
I'll do a roll call.
Okay.
Vice Chair George?
Yes.
Board Member Rushing?
Yes.
Chair Barney?
Yes. Come on in, gentlemen.
All right.
Out of courtesy to you all, did any of you have public comment you wanted to make on items not on the agenda this
no.
morning?
No. Just came to.
Okay. All right.
Good observer.
Okay, thank you. Next up, we have the formal protest hearing for the 2023 weed abatement and issue of abatement order. Chief, you.
Thank you. Excuse me. Rather than read the staff report, where this is the second to last step in the annual process, this is an opportunity for folks that remain in violation of the ordinance that have been noticed to come and appeal the abatement order. And we see nobody in the audience here today, unless they walk in a little late. We do want to share some information with you, and Tricia will share properties that called us and we confirmed have been abated before this morning. But just to reinforce, the intent of the program is to reduce fire threat. That's why these ordinances were written. I think they go back to when there was a lot of open space between homes, and as the communities became more and more built out, it became less and less of a threat, but that threat still exists. That focus is not nuisance abatement, and a huge part of the phone calls we field every year are neighbors reporting on neighbors because they don't appreciate how their yard looks. So we'll go take a look, but if it's not a fire threat, we can't assist them with that. The weed abatement program is a year-round ordinance. We do the enforcement process once a year after the seasonal rains, but it is a year-round responsibility of property owners. With record rains this year came record growth, as you have seen. We strive to provide a high level of customer service with our public and collaborate with property owners in a fair and equitable fashion. For example, if someone owns a large piece of open space property, we will work with them and perhaps come up with a agreement to say, cut the first 15 feet on your perimeter of your property line to protect your neighbors and work out situations like that. Several property owners could not facilitate abatement by today's meeting, and they've contacted us and made a commitment to take care of the work, whether it's been a challenge getting a contractor or even in some cases the soil is still really moist and they can't drive a tractor out there yet. But again, several larger parcels remain in violation of the ordinance. And I'm talking about parcels, one in Grover Beach, the majority in Arroyo Grande, but the smallest parcel I'm referring to is almost 10 acres, the Tanner property up on Atlantic City and Oak Park. And then there's several in the city limits of Arroyo Grande. And I just wanted to chat with the board about this, in that these properties, again, are 9 acres and larger, we don't have the budgeted funds to order the contractor to abate those properties. In past years, the board has supported exceeding the budget and using fund balance, knowing that these property tax assessments will come back to the fire authority, but it's a timing issue of the next fiscal year. And given the Third Amendment and the wind down process and the negotiations with assets and liabilities with the member communities, staff's of the position that we should use the budget responsibly and maintain that fund balance given the negotiations that are ongoing with the departure of Oceana from the fire authority. So we are proposing to continue to work with these property owners and correspond with these property owners to abate their properties, but staff is not asking to exceed our budgeted limits in taking action and giving that direction to the contractor. I believe, Tricia, did you want to add some data?
We have one property that abated their weeds. It's an empty lot at 550 Farrell, so we removed them from the list after the agenda was published.
That's in Grover Beach.
It's in Grover Beach. And the APN number is 060-541-006. So that's been removed.
Thank you, Tricia. I'd like to see if there's any questions from the board.
Not really. Our budgetary issues are what they are, certainly. And I think what you're proposing makes a lot of sense right now. Is there an option? You'd mentioned before that you would sometimes work with some of the larger property owners to abate perimeters on some of these lots. Is there a middle ground available to us on some of these larger lots that we're talking about that we could at least mitigate some of the fire dangers?
So on these lots, even if the owner called and was interested in abating the property, we wouldn't ask them to do more than the 15-foot border unless they voluntarily chose to or brought in cattle for grazing or something like that. Our goal is to work with these property owners to get them into compliance and at a minimum do the 15-foot border.
Okay.
But again, our budget is very limited, and to do this work would exceed our budget and dip into fund balance.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. George?
Newbie, trying to understand the process. So the property owner owns 10 acres. Their weeds are overgrown. We've sent them notice that they need to weed abate. They don't weed abate, and so our solution is to weed abate for them and then send them a bill. Is that my understanding?
Typically, yes.
Okay. And we don't have the funds to do that. I totally recognize that. How do we... What is the process that we have to continue to have them do it? It's their property.
Right. And in essence, we're asking for voluntary compliance by pressuring them to do the right thing.
Right.
Unless we direct the contractor to do the abatement work. That's about the only tool left in our toolkit, unless Mr. Hale has another option.
And triangle box, do you have another option?
Dave?
PD, sorry, I had my phone muted, high technology. PD, to the extent that we've declared this public nuisance, we do have the ability to seek compliance through judicial means by basically suing them, taking them to court for maintaining a public nuisance. Obviously, that will entail some additional court costs, attorney's fees, and time to get them there. Ultimately, if we prevail, we can potentially lien them and their property and or get a judgment against them for attorney's fees, which would be something that we could attempt to do. Attorney's fees are not always guaranteed, and a court will give it to you, but for the most part, I think that's probably a good bet here. So that is another option. It's just an additional time and expense associated with doing that.
So we don't have any fine process, like you get a warning and then you get a fine. We don't have that process available to us.
I The authority operates in the capacity of the common powers of the agencies who are members. And yes, there are abilities to cite them administratively. I don't think historically we've done that, so we can walk through that process internally and discuss who would actually be doing the citing, as to whether it would be the authority or the member agencies, but theoretically it could be done based on those common powers. And then you could start, in essence, imposing for administrative citations. Usually there are 100, 200, 500. And on the third citation of $500, you can then start citing them on a daily basis. So that can then start adding up, and there's the potential of creating, obviously, an incentive to the property owner that needs to pay a fairly large fine if he doesn't comply. But again, I think we, for the most part, historically, and correct me if I'm wrong, Chief, we've gotten voluntary compliance from these folks, to a great degree. So that is another option for you.
So, Chief, this sounded to me, and
this is done.
So I'm just kind of checking perception here, that this is more of an administrative issue right now, given this transitional period that we're in, and would it be the case after on July 1 when the new JPA is, I'm presuming the new JPA will be in place, that then you can go back to operating as you have typically and would be more comfortable maybe dipping into additional funds to pay for the abatement, knowing that down the line the new JPA is going to be getting the money on the come? Or is this specifically a budget issue that's going to carry forward into the new JPA as well?
So it's a great question, and I have a couple of ways to answer it. I'm standing here, so I'm close enough to Dave. I'm not going to do stand-up. We have historically never, as an example, budgeted what strike team reimbursement revenue is going to be because we don't know what's going to happen, right? So that's changing with the next budget. There's some assumption based on past history. With weed abatement, we've had this line item. We never know what compliance or non-compliance is going to look like. So in past years, if these properties remained out of compliance, we may go to the board and say, we're likely going to exceed our budgeted line item and are going to ask for an adjustment from fund balance. We could certainly do that today. If the board was comfortable with that, we could certainly do that today. I'm just sensitive to timing with the wind down period of the JPA. We would be drawing down fund balance by using additional contractor services plus our administrative fee to abate these properties. We could do it. As far as pushing it into the next budget year, we do this process once a year. So we wouldn't be reopening the books on the program, Director Varney, or Chair Varney, this year. I think it's interesting what Dave mentioned about the administrative citation process. We've never had to do this before. We could potentially talk to the cities and the city's code enforcement division saying, can you assist us with enforcing this?
Yeah, I'm concerned about the administrative process just because the goal would be to, at the very least moving forward, continue the way we've done it. Because the goal is to reduce the fire issue, not to charge people money and not to have an adversarial relationship with our citizens, right? So if we start going down the administrative route and it starts small and it starts building up, that always ends up poorly, or it's just a small little amount of a fine. And at the end of the day, the weeds are still there, right? Like we haven't really fixed our fire issue. So I'd rather keep it as it is and follow your guidance in terms of not taking action on those properties.
I guess my question is, since you've never had this issue historically, what happens if they don't comply?
That's a great question that I can't answer. Right.
And then we go into fire season, and now we have 10 acres at minimum of of how many properties are we looking at that have 10 or more acres?
There's five.
Five. Okay. So, because I don't know where those properties are, and I don't know what risk. I mean, a weed abatement isn't, it's not just because we want weed abatement. It's to prevent catastrophic fires in the country. So, if we, I guess I would refer to Chief and say, okay, you know where those properties are. Reading address is important on me.
Well, let's give you an idea of where.
Oh, yeah, that is a very good idea.
I would think that, I mean, we'd have to get confirmation with Dave, but I would think that if they didn't, we could still go through the process again after July with those properties, but we just can't turn it in. We have to turn in these charges to the county by, I think, July 18th every year. So we would have to wait next year to get reimbursed, if that makes sense.
So push it out 2 years potentially.
I would think we could still go through the process again with those properties after July 1. But we just aren't going to be able to turn in the charges to their tax, to the tax roll.
Till the following year.
So that's in regards to the lien, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. So that's their deadline to get mm-hmm. into the property tax cycle for the next
yes.
year.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dave?
I mean, typically those are the reasons why we do it ourselves. It's because of the time frame that we have with the county to be able to lose the properties.
Yeah.
And it is a specific time frame that we have to comply with, or it'll be difficult to get it on those liens on the tax bill. But at the same time, the comment related to there being a public health and safety issue is very, very relevant. So theoretically speaking, if you're going to get a recalcitrant property owner that is just going to tell you go pound sand, I'm not going to do anything, then we'd have to ignore the lien process. And we would just have to go after them through the administrative citation process and or then a court action. And I have generally found that once you file a lawsuit against them and you realize that at that point, my instruction to them is you're going to pay my attorney's fees, you're going to pay my court costs, you're going to pay all of the costs you already owe. And then the administrative citation of $500 a day adds up quite a bit. So the last time I did this, there was about $7,000 in fines that were on top of all of my other court costs and expenses, and we got it settled out of court. But again, it's something that that isn't an option for you if they're just going to say, "I'm saying we're not going to do anything."
Well, I'll defer to the board. I hear what Director Rushing is saying, and I completely understand and support that. Our goal is to help our residents. Our goal is to help facilitate and to have a nice relationship, but it's also to protect all our neighbors mm-hmm. and the community as well. So I'm at an impasse just because we are in a wind-down period and we're in this funky time zone, so roll the dice and go a year without addressing it, you know, that's up to you. You know, I don't know how to, I don't know how to direct that, I guess, is what I'm saying.
I mean, obviously, Dave, they're out of compliance with an ordinance that having to do with fire and life safety. I would say we'll make a few more efforts for voluntary compliance, but perhaps a letter from general counsel pointing out consequences might be in order.
And I have found that to be usually very successful. Not always, but I would say in the last 6 years, I've only had to take two people to court after they received a letter from me. So it usually does generate some incentive on their part to take care of the problem.
So perhaps staff could propose, we'll make maybe two more attempts to contact these property owners, and if we don't gain compliance after two attempts, we can refer that information to Mr. Hale, while he's still our general counsel, to send those letters to the property owners.
Does that give, what would be the time frame of that? I guess my question really is, like, should we just get the letter from Mr. Hale to these folks right now, or do we need to give them two more prompts? I mean, How many times do we tell the kids?
Yeah, we've they've been noticed multiple times already.
Yeah.
So perhaps the board would give us direction to have Mr. Hale contact them.
That'd be fine with that. You want to move forward?
I'm happy to move forward with that, with the clarity that I'm not interested in litigation. That's not. I just
right. Compliance.
A strong word noted.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
A very large fig leg.
The triangle box. Thank
okay.
you.
Mm-hmm.
And given, Chief, that you did, you presented some, I mean, reasonable mitigating, some reasons. I mean, it's like the thing's still in a bog.
Mm-hmm.
If it's in a bog, it's probably not going to be a fire threat right yet. But those sort of things obviously need to deal with on a case-by-case basis. Yeah.
And we want to be consistent.
I think we have a consensus here that we would encourage Mr. Hale to write his very, you know, clear and strict letter to these folks that it's time to step up and do.
Okay, so perhaps when we get to the recommendations and alternatives, that could be part of the motion. You could fold that in.
All right.
But that does complete our staff report. Our next step is there's no one here to protest their property. We would give a list to the contractor and have the process started.
Okay. So you would like a motion on mm-hmm. behalf of this recommendation?
Yeah, so we're here to conduct a public hearing. Obviously, there's no one in the audience participating in said public hearing, so you could open it and close it and provide direction to staff regarding the, you've already given us direction. We're going to formalize the direction on larger properties, and we'll move forward. The protest hearing will have been completed.
Okay, so the hearing is open. Nobody is here to come forward. Anybody want to come forward to this? Okay, hearing none, we will close the protest hearing and move forward with the recommendation.
I'll make a motion that the board recommend consideration of all protests presented before the board during this public protest hearing, and upon completion of the public participation portion of the hearing, to issue an abatement order to the fire chief for the purpose of removal of weeds, in addition to requesting our board council send a letter to those that are out of compliance.
I'll second.
One point of clarification, if I could. Mm-hmm. My understanding was your interest in my sending letters to non-compliant property owners are to the larger parcels
correct.
And not to all of them. Is that correct?
Yes.
That is correct.
So,
okay.
Yeah, just the ones.
Chief, are we talking about given size of property, 5 acres or more, 10 acres or more?
It's the list that I just picked up from the board and put somewhere. I believe the smallest parcel was close to 9, and I would say there's about a half a dozen involved.
Okay, so any properties of 9 acres or more would be what the board's asking me to send a letter to.
Yes.
That is correct.
Okay. May I ask that be part of the motion?
Yes. Motion holds.
A second. Sorry.
Okay. I'll do a roll call. Vice Chair George?
Yes.
Board Member Rushing?
Yes.
Chair Varney?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Under continued business, we have none listed. Under new business, we have none listed. Do we have any board member items?
No, sir.
Board? Okay. No board member items. Fire Chief, do you have any updates for us today?
I do. Thank you. I've got quite a list. But I believe that the board is well aware of the majority of what I'm going to share with you. As the fire chief, I'm supporting the efforts of the city and district managers in this tail end, I'll say, of the wind-down process, including negotiation for short-term contract for services with Oceano beginning July 1. There was a discussion at the Arroyo Grande City Council meeting last evening, and perhaps Director George can expound on that, but I believe the terms that were discussed last night are in line with what Oceano's counter was, so I'm hopeful that we'll move forward with that contract for services. The city councils are scheduled to meet on June 12th and 13th to consider several FCFA-related items. I believe these are all of them. There could be more or less. But review and approve the successor JPA agreement. Identify two board members from each city to be part of this new JPA structure. Be presented with a draft FCFA budget and provide any direction to the newly appointed board reps. So the budget will be presented to the council, and the council will give any direction to their newly appointed board reps to come to a subsequent FCFA board meeting for consideration of budget adoption. Review the proposed service contract between the FCFA and OCSD. So that contract for services, once amenable to all parties, will be between the Fire Authority and Oceano CSD. Review the liability agreement between the FCFA and OCSD for unfunded PERS liability. Approve resolutions assuming responsibility for fire prevention services. So you may remember from the Baker-Tilly study, there was a preferred option, bringing on a fire marshal and a fire prevention specialist that was covered by fees. And then there was an interim step where contract services for fire marshal and fire prevention services, the specialist would be covered by the city's existing contract building services contracts. The cities have opted to go that route, at least for the next fiscal year. But the fire code, which is contained in the California Building Code, clearly delineates responsibility for enforcement of the fire code to the fire chief or a designee. So we're going to need to go through the resolution process. I'll be meeting with the city managers on Thursday to form those documents so we can legally state what responsibilities the cities are assuming and what responsibilities the fire department will retain. That was a lot. So the week, all of that happens on the 12th and 13th. The week, later part of the week of June 19th, perhaps a Friday the 23rd, I believe it is, this new board will come together with the city managers as the executive officers and will designate a board chair and a vice chair. And as you know, that decision determines which city manager takes lead in being executive officer for that year. So assuming the board chair is from Grover Beach, then the Grover Beach city manager will take executive officer for that 12-month period until it rotates to Arroyo Grande. Discussion of meeting dates and times. Approval of the fiscal year 23-24 FCFA budget. Approval of the contract for services with OCSD. Approval of the liability agreement with OCSD, and then there will be a final weed abatement action. You're welcome. at this point, we'll have the contractor's invoices for work that we'll need the board to approve before submitting it to the county. In between there, the County Board of Supervisors is scheduled to receive a report from their staff on June 20th regarding the LAFCO application initiated by OCSD. Both cities have already submitted comments. The county pumped the brakes to do an analysis so they can go to their board and get some board direction. So that is scheduled for June 20th. So today, as I was writing these notes, I acknowledge today could be the last meeting of this current board of directors as we move forward with this pretty accelerated timeline, so I want to thank you for supporting the Five Cities Fire Authority in your service, and we'll see you on the other side. Just coming through some operational issues and updates. Our two rookie firefighters are doing extremely well. I noticed one of them's in the room. I won't point him out again. And are on track to complete their task books and pass probation. It's exciting, truly exciting to have these fresh faces and fresh perspective coming into an organization. So I got to watch the one that's here work through some hose evolutions with our other crew. So, you know, in terms of succession planning, we have a seasoned firefighter who's working on his engineer task book to prepare himself for the next level. And that person needed to complete some water evolutions, pumping, doing a lot of math and coefficients and all kinds of stuff that I was horrible at. And our firefighter needed to complete some operations on different hoses, different nozzles, the deck gun. So that happened this week in Grover Beach, and it was great to watch. Looking forward to the budget, you know, we do have two proposed engineer positions in the budget, and should the budget be approved in its current state, they're slated to be approved, and that will ensure minimum daily staffing of 8 suppression people plus a battalion chief. So the crew configuration will be 2 3-person engine companies and 1 2-person company, but that will be 24/7 by 365. With the long-term funding uncertainty that remains, so hopefully we'll have a 12-month limited-term agreement with Oceano to get them through the LAFCO process, and then hopefully we will have a negotiated longer-term contract with the county to continue to provide fire services. That would be great. But in this interim period, I think it wise in the labor groups in concurrence that we will fill these positions with overtime with existing personnel until we work through the longer-term negotiations before doing a recruitment and hiring additional people from the outside. There will be some slight budget savings even with the overtime because, as you may recall, existing employees, their benefit costs are already being expended in the budget, whereas new positions, there's benefit costs that won't be utilized, and overtime is not subject to PERS pension calculations, so there will be some savings in budgeted PERS line items for these engineer positions as well. The battalion chief program is also slated to add one position and go to a shift-based program. The mechanics of converting what's been basically a 40-hour work week job to a 56-hour shift-based position is far more complicated than you would think at face value. So the existing battalion chiefs are really working through the nuts and bolts, and then we'll be sitting down with finance and HR and determining what that final configuration looks like in their shift of work week. Very excited to move forward with these positions, by the way. I've mentioned fire prevention as a resolution, acknowledging what the cities will be taking on in the short term. The Five Cities Fire Authority will still maintain some level of fire prevention responsibilities, and it's really focused on 4 areas. We will still be part of the pre-application review process, so projects coming in for conceptual presentation and feedback from the planning department. Fire will also be there in those conversations. We will continue to handle the weed abatement program. We'll continue to handle the fireworks program, and we will continue to do the multifamily dwelling, which apartment buildings, and hotel inspections, which are state-mandated inspections. The cities will take on much of the construction plan review, the fire sprinkler plan review, field inspections related to that, and the remaining state fire inspections as well. And there's more. Just to quickly bring you up to speed on the fleet. Truck 6645 returned from the mechanic yesterday afternoon. It was there for quite a while. As you know, this vehicle was in service less than 50% of the time in the last calendar year. We'll be presenting a proposal to order a replacement truck in the new fiscal year. That projected lease payment's been built into the numbers that Baker Tilly has provided the councils. Current build time is over 3 years, so we really need to get into the queue. Contributing factors to build time include the specialized parts that are needed, the challenges in obtaining them, a shortage of skilled labor in the marketplace. We've talked about this locally for a long time, and a large backlog of orders that Pierce has. The new Wildland engine did not pass final inspection at the Pierce dealership when it arrived in Ontario in Southern California. Numerous defects identified by staff at the Florida factory up at final were not resolved. The dealership is working and is committed to having all needed work and have that to us, I believe, Friday, June 2nd is the date we should be receiving the rig. It was here briefly to enable our people to use in driver operator 1E, which is off-road operations. Really important to get our people familiar with that before fire season. Captain Searby, who's here, took the training and is a state-certified instructor in this new class. So we had agencies from throughout the county participating, which helped defer our operating costs. We were collecting fees from those outside agencies. Lastly, engine 6691. This is a 2007 Type 1 fire engine, so what you see around town, it's legacy Arroyo Grande. So I don't know if you remember, but look, Arroyo Grande's fire engines used to be this greenish chartreuse color. Engine 1 was wrapped in vinyl. You may hear about that in cars and business trucks that have their business graphics on there. Engine 1 looks like a red fire engine, but it's vinyl wrapped. Anyway, it's 2007. It's due to be replaced, 15-year service life in 2023. When I meet with the city managers tomorrow, I'm going to pitch a financing option that I thought of and was able to validate with Pierce and Pierce Financial, where we can defer initial lease payments for up to 3 years until we get closer to the delivery date. So we can place the orders today to get them in the queue and not incur any expense until closer. We will either pay cash or pull financing closer to completion date. In the past, that was the risk. You were talking about the come line. I mean, this was the roulette wheel on interest rates. But interest rates, if you look at projections for interest rates, they're expected to go down over time. But we've reached the high point. So we're hopeful that deferring financing and locking into a rate will be favorable to the fire authority in the future. That concludes my fire chief items, unless there's any questions. That was a lot.
I guess side note, do you have those notes available that we might be able to hold on to report back to our councils on some of these items? I took some notes, but I know I missed a good chunk of that.
Yeah, I'll delete the part where I have comments about the directors.
Appreciate in my that. Thank you.
I can just gladly...
Just give me the redacted
side. I can clearly make copies next door. Yes.
Can I ask about the overtime? I don't know if I just mentally checked out. Were you referring to the additional fire? It's very complicated. And A4, A5, we talked about so much, but... So we're talking about adding three and a half positions. So are you talking about filling all those positions with overtime, or just did I miss something?
No, you didn't miss anything.
Okay.
It was probably me. So over a two-year period, there's three and a half positions. That half position is an admin assistant converting to full-time. But I don't know if we will need that, because that trigger point was tied to a fire marshal fire prevention specialist program ramping up. So there's the half. Two are fire engineer positions. So we have an odd number right now. So that will get us to the right number of fire engineer positions so
right.
We can run those every day.
Right.
Rather than go through a recruitment and bring on new employees, right, to backfill into the firefighter positions with this level of uncertainty, there's a level of comfort here saying we will use existing employees and have them take those two engineer positions on overtime, on normal days off. They'll work those shifts.
So my concern with that is overworking our fire department.
Mm-hmm.
And if immediate reservations, because, one, not telling you how to do your job and run your organization, because you know that much better than I do, but just... from my conversations with individuals that work in the fire department, they're tired and they're overworked, and they're saying that we have to work overtime because we don't have an option. We don't have an option not to work overtime because we don't have anyone to backfill. And so as a council member yesterday, coming home, saying, I feel so good, you know, we're adding these positions, we're able to secure more firefighters, and now to hear that for the next year, we're not going to fill those spots. We're just going to ask them to work more overtime. I have reservations about that, so maybe you can help me understand that better and assuage those concerns.
Yeah, and I wish a union rep was available, because we truly have had this conversation, and I'll go back to 2000. It's before I started it, at the end of 2014, but was the Safer Grant Program in 12?
Yes.
So in 2012, the Five Cities Fire Authority, with the support of the member communities and the board, did a Safer Grant, which is a FEMA grant which allows you to hire employees for a 2 to 3 year period. A lot of agencies take advantage of that because it allows them to plan for the investment of keeping these employees when the grant period runs out. In 2012, when these employees were onboarded, there was no plan to keep them, and there was a benefit assessment measure that went out that failed miserably, so all of those employees were laid off at the end of their Safer Grant period. We've been able to rehire some of them over time, but they were all laid off. And I think that taste in the organization hasn't left. So I will address your question about overtime, but I think there's also the ethical dilemma question of filling these positions with existing firefighters, bumping them up to engineer, bringing on brand new firefighters with the uncertainty as to whether they will still have a job in 12 months or not. So balancing that with the labor groups, at least what's been communicated to me, is willingness to fill it for now. It could be less than a year, right? So maybe the contract with the county is negotiated earlier, and there's more certainty beyond 12 months, then we could do the recruitment and fill those positions. I will say that we've gone through a long period where employees have been injured and unable to work on workers' comp, employees out on assignment. We didn't have the firefighters' positions filled for a couple of years. Those have been filled. We have no current open positions that are being filled by overtime today. So these two engineer positions would be filled by overtime. I will say employees are taking time off for themselves and taking family vacations. Employees are doing things to achieve that life balance. We don't have a lot of forced overtime right now. Obviously, if someone went to training, they would need someone to backfill for them. So I understand your concerns, and I acknowledge them, but I balance that with the decision to onboard brand new people and have them not be able to thrive here.
Yeah. And is this a discussion that we can... Is this a discussion that can evolve?
Oh, certainly.
So as a new agency is formed, as a new board comes on, as we understand more, we get numbers back to the county, get a better idea of where the county's at, we can revisit this. So it's not necessarily that our firefighters are going to be working overtime for the next 12 months. It could just be for now until we can.
Okay. That's my goal. My goal is that the county board will give their staff direction one way or another on the 20th, my hope is that they direct county staff to talk to the Five Cities Fire Authority about providing contract services. And the sooner we have that certainty, right, that can cause a shift in gears, and we can do a recruitment and take care of this. So,
because the 12 months isn't necessarily 12 months. It's just until the divestiture is mm-hmm. completed.
Right.
So, okay. Thank you. That was mm-hmm. my only question.
Anything else?
No, sir.
So there's no action to be taken on this at this time?
That was just my filibuster.
Okay. Vice Chair George, would you be willing to give a brief summary report of what happened at the AG Council meeting last night with regards to proposal from OCSD?
Absolutely. Yeah, we met to discuss the OCSD's contract negotiations because they had made modifications. We had asked for, or we had offered $1.2 million contract for 9 months, and OCSD came back with $1.15 $1 million contract for 12 months. And after staff ran the numbers, our consideration was whether to do 1.15 for 12 months and meet Oceano's request, which would be the A4 Baker Tilly study, which would give us 3.5 million employees and be able to serve all three communities, or two would be just to go back to OCSD with another option, or three, say no, that was a best and final offer to OCSD, and go with Baker Tilly's A5, which would give us 24 staff members versus 30 staff members. After we ran the numbers, it was pretty convoluted. So without OCSD, and if we were to go with the A5 model, Arroyo Grande would pay $30,000 more for the two agency contract. Grover, I believe, would have saved like $60,000 if we had gone with the A5. Going with the A4, there was a difference of around, I don't have my notes with me, but around $60,000. And our portion, 58% of that, would have worked out to about $34,500. So we thought, okay, well, $30,000 gets us A5, which is 24 firefighters to serve two communities, or paying the extra $4,500, the $34,500, we could do the A4, serve Oceano, but then also have an additional 6 firefighters for all three communities. So we have reservations. We went back and forth, but ultimately we decided that that was the best good faith effort to move forward, approve the proposed contract by Oceano, limit it to 12 months and no longer, because we understand that is a little bit of a discounted rate, if you will, and not by much. I'm not trying to cause any waste.
Yeah,
but then we just had the concern that we didn't want to subsidize Oceano's fire with our funds, because our funds are diminishing rapidly. So after the 12 months, we agreed that our staff, because county has already come to our staff and asked, we understand that 1.2 really isn't the right number for you to provide fire services for Oceano. So what is that number? So we directed staff to continue to work on what that formula would be, not necessarily a number, but more so a formula to come up with a number, to present that to the county and let the county know and let Oceano know that if the divestiture that is not completed in the 12 months, that formula would then come into play. There is a clause in the Oceano contract that has a confer and a meet and confer. So at 9 months into the 12-month contract, we will meet with Oceano to negotiate the new terms if we hit the 12 months. So that, in a nutshell, was our decision last night.
That was a tremendous report.
That's a thing. That's
seriously. I'm very impressed. Thank you so much.
When I say I'm vested in this fire authority and I want to see the best for our communities together, our firefighters, I truly mean that. And so it's a lot of studying. So. Yes.
Thank you. General counsel items. Mr. Hale?
I don't have any for you today other than just after your board communications, I can read out your closed session for you.
Okay. Thank you. Any board communications?
No, sir.
And we will adjourn to closed session.
Let me read out that, if I may, required under the Brown Act. And there will be convening in a closed session under conference with legal counsel used in litigation pursuant to paragraph 1, subdivision D of Government Code section 549, 56.9. Case we'll be discussing is Boyer versus Five Cities Fire Authority, case number 18CV-0438.
Okay.
We can convene in a closed session.
You can convene at 9:55.
Okay, and we have opened it up for the public to come back in?
Yes.
Okay. Then I will report out the decision of the board related to the closed session regarding the Boyer versus Five Cities Fire Authority. The board has agreed unanimously to approve the settlement agreement that has been negotiated. That settlement agreement is for a payout by Farah, the insurance adjuster, for $500,000. Upon signing of the settlement agreement and distribution of those proceeds, this case will be closed. And that would be the end of my report out.
Thank you. Anything else to be shared on this topic? Okay. Well, then, I think we are at the end of this iteration of the Five Cities Fire Authority.
It's been a short but pleasurable ride.
Agreed.
Thank you, everyone.
Right. Okay. We are adjourned.
Nice.